Yeah, Jason, he didn't tell you the story about the time we tried to hang him from a tree. The thing is if you know Jason, you would understand why we did these things. Why we left him on the Eiffel Tower. Why? we are always, me and my wife and our church, Jason and Leslie, we are always glad to be a part of what's happening here at the camp because we know what an impact it has made upon our lives, not just in one way, but in many, many ways. I had somebody ask me in Bible study this morning or this afternoon, what was the first camp like? And at first I was a little offended by that, but I have been here since the first camp. It was not like this at all as far as there were no dining halls. This building wasn't here. There were no boys' dorm. The boys slept in an army tent down at the pond until the year it rained so hard they got washed out. The dining hall, people would bring, there was no dining hall, people would bring soups and food in from their homes, and I think we had a tent right here where this building was and where we would eat and have some of the services even and things that first year. And the girls slept back in the basement of the old church, I believe it was, the first year. And then slowly, there were no volleyball courts. The volleyball courts, when I was at camp the first year, were over in the yard across the street. And it was just one volleyball court because you didn't have that many young people that came those first couple years. And then slowly it just began to grow. And my grandfather had a vision of four buildings being here. And slowly but surely they began to add the buildings and it began to grow. But one thing that has never changed in this place is the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And that it has forever been the theme of this place to give people an opportunity to experience what the Holy Ghost is, to experience God even sometimes for the first time, and receive the power of the Holy Ghost. That power to receive the Holy Ghost is something that is will forever change your life. There's just something about, you know, just we were talking about, there's something about the name of Jesus. There's something also about the indwelling power of Jesus in your life. There was something that took place in me growing up. I had a lot of issues somewhat in school. I had dyslexia growing up, but there was one night I had an encounter here with the Lord that, man, when it happened, my grades and everything shifted. It was like all of a sudden I began to understand things I never understood before. And there's talk about, you know, let the mind of Christ be in you. And I believe that even as you receive the Holy Spirit, there are things that begin to, I believe, like Jason said last night, I believe there is a DNA change that takes place. And it begins to change us forever. And so, you know, to preface what I'm about to talk about tonight, I want to encourage you, because I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. And I encourage you that if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you've never received, you've never had an experience with the Holy Spirit, do not leave here this week without receiving it. And if you have received it already, to stir up that gift within you this week, to begin to exercise it and to begin to understand what that power was given to us for, because it is more than just speaking in tongues or to be able to worship harder in the worship service. It's for every aspect of our life. Amen. Let me start with the scripture before I just blurt everything out. And, you know, I always like to read one scripture, even if it has nothing to do with what I preach, just so nobody can say he didn't open the Bible. So I want to open here tonight with Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "For the former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, for all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he had showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Say, the kingdom of God. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. I was sitting here last night as Jason was worshiping before he got up to speak even, and many of the things he said about, you know, is this mountain, is it an obstacle, or is it just an adventure? And I heard the Lord speak to me, and then as we were worshiping last night, and then the butthead woke me up at 4:30 in the morning this morning and wanted to talk to me till about 7 o'clock. And I'm like, do you realize this is the first night of camp and this is a long week already? I would like to at least get some sleep the first night. But he didn't really care, so we talked for a couple hours last night. And what I really began to hear is that when they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel, Jesus had just said before that, you know, this is about not the kingdom back to Israel, this is about the kingdom of God. But he says to them, because they asked the question in the wrong context, because the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come, so they didn't really understand fully the things they were asking, so they were just asking in the context of the culture they were living in, will you restore the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus' response is, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, for they're given into the Father's hands, but you're about to receive some power. And I heard the Lord say this. I heard the Lord speak to me, and he spoke to me again last night about 4:30 in the morning about, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, for that's given into the Father's hands, but I'm about to give you some power to bring the kingdom into the earth. And I say that this morning, and I know that probably saying, if you've heard this taught from Acts, you may have heard some stuff, you know, about, you know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that we start thinking about when Jesus comes back. But I don't want you to think like that tonight. I want you to think just a little bit different about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, and that it's not about knowing the times or the seasons, but about understanding the power that you've been given, or if you've not received yet this power, the power you're about to receive this week. The power you're about to receive this week, or the power that you may have already received, is not about sitting here and waiting for Jesus to come back, but it's about creating an atmosphere for the kingdom of heaven to invade this earth. And to change the culture of the world and to change what is happening around us and even in our family lives and our own lives, to have a power that brings heaven to earth. Now, there are some of you probably here that are living in homes that maybe it's not heaven. Maybe somewhat it might feel like hell. But you can receive a power this week to change even the atmosphere of your home lives. To change maybe the hearts of some parents. Maybe to break some stuff that's been happening in your homes that maybe has felt like hell. Because God doesn't want you to live in hell. He wants to bring the culture of heaven into your everyday life. And when I heard the Lord say, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, you know, our mind is always thinking about, you know, the time, like what time is it or what season. We're thinking that from a literal. But I heard the Lord begin to speak to me, and I said, I thought about time first off, and I thought about, you know, it's time for school. And that's not necessarily, you know, if somebody tells you, come on, you need to get up, it's time for school. It's not necessarily they're telling you an exact time, like it's 8:15. They're just telling you, it's time to go to school. It's about that time, you know, or it's time to go to bed. Some of you might not have a bedtime, but there's sometimes you just get tired and you look at somebody and you go, it's time for me to go to bed. It's a time. Maybe you're having the time of your life, or maybe you're in a bad time. There's a time that we, you know, there, you know, I don't, you will say things like, I've got a lot of time on my hands. Or I don't have no time for no fake people in my life. You know, or maybe this week we were like, man, it's almost time for youth camp. So when I heard the Lord speak about times and seasons, it wasn't necessarily that it was a, you know, it's 9 o'clock right now, but that there's times in our lives. Sometimes we're living in some good times. Sometimes we're living in some bad times. Sometimes we're having the time of our life, while sometimes I'm using the word time a lot right there. There's a time for some stuff, right? And then when we talk about seasons, you know, it could be football season, or maybe it's basketball season. Maybe it's, maybe we're talking about you're having a season of transition. You know, some of you have graduated from high school. You're about to go into college. You're in a season of transition. There's seasons in our lives. When I think about a season, like last week, I watched the whole first season of Altered Carbon on Netflix. There are different, you know, so when he's talking about, you know, the Lord began to speak to me, it wasn't necessarily that it's a time and a season that we're not supposed to know about, that, you know, Jesus is coming back, but there is times and seasons in our lives that are opportunities for the Holy Ghost to begin to work in our lives to bring about the kingdom into the earth and to change the culture. And this time, it may not be for you to know what time and season the Holy Ghost begins to activate in you to bring heaven, but it can happen in any time and season in your life. God's not waiting on a special, you know, it's not like God's waiting at 9:15 in a summer day before he decides to restore the kingdom somewhere. What he's waiting on is for you to get up in your season and begin to activate the power of the Holy Ghost that he wants to give you, then activate the Holy Ghost that maybe you've already received, to activate the kingdom and the culture of the kingdom of God in the earth, to bring heaven to earth right now. See, one of the things that, you know, I've been doing, I did a whole study, and it probably took us about 6 months, maybe longer, in our church to just do a study on the Holy Spirit. And one of the things, and I apologize because I know you just got out of school, and you're probably tired of history lessons. Well, I just want to give you a little bit of history. When somebody in Bible study said, I love the history. You know, I love the History Channel. I love history. I love the History Channel, too. I love to watch Ancient Aliens. It's one of my favorite things, dude. I love that. I love that. Anybody ever watch Ancient Aliens on the History Channel? Those dudes are crazy, but it is the most entertaining craziness. I love it. I like to see what they're going to say next. You know, it's like, you know, they're going to be like, you know, I forget what it is. It's like, you know, we found, you know, it's like it could be a taco from Taco Bell, or it could be aliens. Yeah, like everything is an alien. I love that show. That's the main reason I watch the History Channel, just so I can watch the dudes on Ancient Aliens. I love that stuff. But here's just a little bit of history. For the Pentecostal movement really began to take place in America in 1901, January 1st, at midnight. The first person to receive the Holy Spirit during that Pentecostal revival in America was a woman by the name of Agnes Osman. A couple years later, in 1906, a African-American preacher by the name of William Joseph Seymour was preaching that God wanted to pour out the Holy Spirit and renew the Holy Spirit in America. And he was invited to preach this revival. And he had not yet spoken tongues. He had never encountered the Holy Spirit before. And he's preaching that God wants to give people the Holy Spirit. And they kicked him out of that church because he was preaching something that he never experienced. And they closed the doors. He come back the next night to preach. I mean, they had padlocked this church because they felt like this guy was preaching a false doctrine. And so he went back to this house that he was staying at, and some people that heard him preach the night before showed up at the house where he was staying because they wanted to hear more of what he was saying. And he got out on this porch of this house he was staying. He began to preach about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit showed up. People got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't the first one to receive it. Somebody else did, and then they prayed for him, and he's the one, and that's how he got it. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then a great revival broke out in the middle of this African-American and mixed culture community. And then what happened is it was beginning, it got so, people were being so affected. There was miraculous healings taking place. There was, cultures were being changed. And so even white folk began to show up in the middle of this this outpouring of the Holy Spirit because they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Now, what's significant about this is that in 1901, like I said, the first people to receive the Holy Spirit were this woman and some African Americans. And what's significant about that is in 1901, women didn't have the same rights. They didn't even have the right to vote at that time. They were considered second-class citizens. African Americans had not received yet the right to vote and equal rights. They were considered second-rate citizens at that time. Matter of fact, women didn't receive the right to vote till 1920, and African Americans didn't receive the right to vote till 1965. But here's God pouring out his spirit because he didn't see the color and he didn't see the gender. The criticism that was taking place, you know, when this William, William Joseph Seymour began to preach and this happened, probably many of you have heard that was the Azusa Street revival and the outbreak of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street. The criticism that took place by most of the media was that this is craziness because you have a mixing of cultures that just shouldn't be. There should be, because segregation was big at the time. And what they were saying is that this shouldn't even be. This is blasphemous. This can't be God because all these races are coming together to worship God. And I really felt like I heard the Lord say, the reason why they didn't understand it because the culture of heaven doesn't look like what the culture of the earth looks like. And what God wants to do through the Holy Spirit is change what the culture of the earth looks like to show them what heaven looks like. And I don't feel like that we're fully seeing yet what heaven looks like in the earth. So God's not done yet. That's why we've gathered here this week to also receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there's some things in our culture that God wants to change and show what heaven looks like. And here's the thing. God won't want to use you. You might have some experiences. You might have a heart of God that's got a passion to see something happen. And what will ignite that passion and give you a power to see the passion of your heart manifest is this power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give you. You might see a vision of what heaven looks like, and everybody else might think you're crazy. But it might just be what the heart of God is to bring heaven to earth. You know, one of the things that, you know, as I begin to study the Holy Spirit, one of the very first thing, there's a now listen, I say this because I've grown up in church and so I've heard these things. I never went to seminary school. But there was, I hear preachers sometimes talk about this thing called the law of first mention. And that when something is first mentioned in the Bible, there is something significant about it that same pattern will carry itself out through the rest of the Bible, right? You all right with me so far? We okay? Am I boring you? The first time, who said what? A little bit. You've heard it before, right? This is like the fourth time Jason's heard this stuff, so he's like a little bored with it. No. The first time the Holy Spirit is really mentioned, or the Spirit of God is mentioned, is Genesis chapter 1, where it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now the heavens were perfect, but there was a void, dark earth that God was about to take what was in the heavens and bring it into fruition in the earth. And so the first thing the Spirit of God does is that he begins to make this dark, void earth to begin to look like heaven. And everything he spoke, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be a division between the lesser light and the lesser light. Everything he did in those 6 days, he said, man, this is good. This is very good. And he gets down to where he creates man in his own image and his own likeness. And he said, behold, it's good. You know, the first time I think, and maybe the only time God said something wasn't good is when he saw man was alone. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone, because God always operates in a relationship. Again, that's one of the reasons you're here this week, is to receive a personal relationship with God, because it's not good for you to be alone. God wants to join with you in everything you do. He wants to empower you to be successful in everything you do. He wants to give you a mind to be able to accomplish the things that you have in your mind to accomplish, whatever that is. That's why he's so passionate about giving the power of the Holy Spirit, because he wants to invade everything you're doing to make it look like heaven on earth. You know, God wants to make you successful. Man, you all quiet. He wants to make you rich. Can I get an amen on that, maybe? You know, in this camp, like I said, from the very beginning, the atmosphere has never changed as far as giving people an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. And throughout, 38 years of doing this camp, there has been countless success stories of people. And then some of them we don't even know. Just this year, I had a friend that, for those of you that may have been here for any length of time, and most of you probably don't know, I used to do hip-hop. I used to rap. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. My daughter wasn't breakdancing, because I used to be able to do that. Huh? All right. Cleverly, I ripped these words through my esophagus. I'm resurrected and out of my sarcophagus. Seated in heavenly, so ain't no stopping this. I'm Superman and here to save Metropolis. Forget hip-hop, Lynn Styles here to rock it. Kind of like Alanis with one hand in my pocket. This freedom is truth now. Isn't it ironic? I'm king of this frontier. Y'all could call me Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. I rhyme from the throne room, living in Christ, while others seek to die soon, despise doom. I bring life from a secret tomb. An uncorruptible seed brought forth from my Savior's womb. I've been to the promised land, return to bring you in. A Joshua, but y'all can just call me Lynn Styles. I've been a while feeding on bread and wine. The supplements of the Lord, so now I know the time. And I rhyme to enlighten and bring peace in the night. Fight with religious strongholds and restore the cross sight. I've been right ever since my Savior's death. And at his resurrection, I just inhaled the breath. And do with power like Austin Powers, I changed the hours. Shock and awe like the fall of the Twin Towers. The grace of raps is sour, so I'm singing a new rhyme. And I'm feeling kind of tipsy as I'm spitting this rhyme. One time for your mind, we the branch of the vine, intertwined with the vine, I prophesy when I spit a rhyme. Now come and see the lamb slain, elevate like David Blaine, and by his death I've been made to reign.
So
I used to do rap, right? Back in the day. And there was a year that I did it for a couple years, and then some guys came from Ohio one year, and they asked if they could do some stuff with me. One of them was my friend, and then later on, some of the other guys I became real good friends with. Just this year, one of the guys that I used to do rap with was nominated for a Grammy and was at the Grammys with his wife. His name was John Rubin. Yeah. There was another young lady that came here. Her name was Anita Brown. And just a couple years ago, she was on a Super Bowl commercial singing. There have been some that have gone on to be sports stars and major athletes. Not to mention the countless pastors and ministers and doctors and, all kinds of success that's come out of this. And they will tell you, most of them will tell you, they attribute it to their encounter with God. The dude I talked about, John Rubin, it was a shy, awkward, backward kid when he came here. And has gone, but when the Holy Spirit encountered him, I mean, it changed him from this shy, awkward kid to an ability to rap like, you know, talent. And that's the kind of stuff that the Holy Spirit does. So when I'm talking about God wanting to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand that it's much more than just a special prayer language. And that's good. I want you to receive your special prayer language. When you don't know what else to pray, pray in tongues. But I want you to understand that God is giving this power of the Holy Spirit to you. Let me say it like this. He's offering you this gift this week for so much more than you just being able to talk to him in another language. He wants to give you this gift so it can empower you in whatever your heart desires. It's valuable. It's almost like a secret weapon. It can change your mind. If you have struggled with understanding, maybe you struggled in school, maybe you've struggled maybe you're struggling with making some decisions about your life. God wants to give you a power that puts a mind in you that says, I can lead and guide you in the path I want you to go. That before you ever have to speak in front of a crowd or you ever have to give account for something, I'm going to speak to your heart so you'll know the right things to say. When you walk into a job interview, you become successful because there's something in the inside of you that knows how to speak to those bosses or to those people that are interviewing you so that you get the position that you want. Not only get the position you want, but you get the pay you want. See, I say that boldly because we have talked about the Holy Spirit, but we have so downplayed it for what it is. It is the success for life, because what God wants to do is put you all in positions that helps you bring heaven to earth, to manifest what the kingdom of heaven looks like and bring it here. So not only do you get to live in heaven, but those around you get to be affected by heaven. See, there's a scripture in Romans that says, I'll tell you what it is. There's a scripture in Romans 14:17, and it says, the kingdom of heaven is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what the kingdom is. Now, listen, I want to say something here, and take this however you want. Throw it away if you don't like it. But there's a difference between the heaven that we go to when we die and the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talked about. The kingdom or the heaven that we go to maybe when we die is something that you receive the moment you receive Christ. But the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talked about, like things that it's righteousness, peace, and joy, or it's like a woman who hid leaven and a couple measures of meal, that it was constantly growing. That was different than the place we go when we die. It's the kingdom of heaven is what God wants to bring here to the earth, where we can experience it, we can have it, we can touch it. It begins to affect every aspect of our life. It begins to be, listen, I want you to understand that God doesn't want you to wait till you die to get heaven. Amen. He wants you to receive it and experience it here in this life. Amen. Like I said, I know some of you maybe come from homes that are disrupted and it might feel like hell. That's not what God wants you to experience. He wants to give you a gift to take into that situation at home that begins to grow like leaven. And it begins to change that culture at home. And it begins to change the fighting and the problems at home and begins to make it like heaven. You know, probably if I asked you, what is heaven like? Probably everyone has a different idea of what that's like. But all of us would probably agree that it's awesome. That is something we want to have. We want to have heaven. You know, we talk about, you know, we was laughing today because somebody said, you know, I think it was Georgia is like close to like something, heaven or something. And I said, no. Our motto, West Virginia's motto, is it's almost heaven. You know, that it's almost heaven here. And I agree. Like, I've lived in some other places, and it is almost like heaven here. I was just Jay. I was talking to Jay because Jay's staying at my house, and he came here, and he's been, he travels. He's a traveling nurse, so he travels all over the place. And he's like, you know, this is like, he said, the atmosphere here is so much slower, you know. And he's like, it's just like you don't. It's almost like you just move at a slower pace. Like there's nothing pushing you. There's nothing you have to do. And I'm like, yeah, this is what we do, Jay. We sit on the porch, we drink coffee, and we enjoy this beautiful scenery, and we enjoy how beautiful it is here. It's nice. It's almost heaven. To me, now some of you, that might not be heaven at all. You know, when I was a teenager, it wasn't heaven. because there was, you know, like even going to this church, I couldn't date any of the girls because I was related to them. Now, I know in West Virginia, that's sometimes acceptable. But for me, it wasn't. I had been exposed enough to a different cultures that I didn't want to marry my cousin. I wanted, you know. So, you know, in order for me to get to a mall from here, I had to drive 45 minutes. And that wasn't always allowed when I was 16 years old. You know, so even to go on a date or something like that, you know, it was like, you know, when we had Subway and McDonald's, you know, so that was the extent of our date. Now, it was cheap, but... you didn't gain much points for it. You might go, there's a Star Theater downtown. It's only opened on Fridays and Saturdays, and I think Sundays maybe. And there's only one movie that shows every weekend. And it's only at one time a day. so your dates were limited. So, you know, when I was a teenager, it wasn't almost heaven. I left here thinking I want to live in the city where at least, you know, there's something to do. And so when I was about 21, 22, I moved to the city. I moved to the city of Columbus, Ohio. I enjoyed it being there. But once I got married, I did not want to live in the city any longer. I want to come back to where it was almost heaven. I say that because your mind and your desires change throughout life. But here's the thing about me is that from a young age, I knew I had a calling of God on my life. I knew at a young age God wanted me to be a pastor. Now, I'm saying that because that's my calling. I don't want to put that on anybody here today. Because God doesn't want to just give you the Holy Spirit so you become a minister of some sort. Because again, I think that limits this power he wants to give. I think he wants to make you leaders of industry. I think he wants to make you leaders of entertainment. I think he wants to make you leaders in whatever you have in your heart to do. Maybe he wants you to be a superstar, a sports star. Whatever it is that your passion, what makes your eyes light up, the Holy Spirit is given so that it can increase and make it better, and you can be the light that brings heaven to earth, and not just another star that stands up, or another leader of industry that takes advantage of people, but that you can bring the culture of heaven, not just into your life, but everyone around you. That's what this power is for, to bring heaven to earth. But for me, I knew at a young age I was called to be a pastor, and that passion never changed. I knew I had a drive. So everywhere I went, when I moved to Columbus, I thought, well, maybe I'm coming here to fulfill my destiny. When I moved back, I thought, well, maybe I'm coming here to fulfill my destiny. And it wasn't until I was probably about 38 that really became to fruition, where I really stepped in and became a pastor, started a church. And I started the church, and because I'm different and weird, the church had to be different and weird. I don't mean that like it's weird. It's just like we're not weirdos or nothing. It's just every church has some weirdos, but we don't promote that. It's just I just mean it's different. It's just not like other churches. It's all it's our personality. Yeah, I've got you heard Jason preach last night, right? Jason is my worship leader. He's like my right-hand man. He's a really big help to me. And Jason was calm last night. and filtered compared to how he is sometimes. And I have to, you know, like I've sometimes like, I don't know what, you know, I'm like, that's just Jason. I don't know how else to say it, you know, but when I started the church, I knew I was called to be a pastor. But I asked the Lord through the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I want to know that if you was to pastor and start a church, I want to know what that would look like. And so I don't have any agenda. I don't want to have any thought as to how we do this. I'm going to let you do it. And so like we started, and when I like the first services, you know, how we're like, you know, how many go to, if you ever been to church, they're like song service starts and they'll be like, can everybody stand, right? We didn't do that. We told people, you just do what you want to do. You want to set, you set. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to go over and, you know, hang out in the corner somewhere because you feel like, you know, you just find God better over there, do that. You laugh. Dan Keister. How many know Dan Keister that comes here? Dan Keister. If you ever go to Dan Keister's church, right, the dude is like, he sits in the front row. They'll do worship, and he'll be over here, and it's like it's not here, so then he's going to walk over here and stop, and like he's looking. I'm like, me and Jason are like, is he looking for God somewhere? It's like, is there like a certain, probably none of you all swam in the pond, but if you ever swim in the pond, there'll be cold spots, and then there'll be warm spots. In the pond. Seriously, I'm not even lying. It's like the sun hits it in a certain spot, and this spot is really warm, but if you move out of that spot, it's kind of cold. And I wondered, like, if Dan Keister in his worship, if he's looking for that warm spot, you know, and I'm just like, maybe if you just pee, it'd be there, you know. But we just told people, you know, if you that's what you need to do, if you need to walk around the room just to feel out spots, do that. We didn't make them stand, huh? There was no criteria for their worship. We wanted them to worship however was in their heart. And then we start, you know, it's like our money. We didn't do money the right way. We just told them, you know, I want you to find God and ask God what you're supposed to do. And there was times where, you know, they didn't do nothing because you gave them the freedom, you know. And thank God we, you know, I was lucky enough not to need it, you know. And then sooner or later, they began to find that their heart was and their passion was they wanted to give, and they started giving even above when people say, you know, give 10%. They started giving above 10%. Now, like I said, there was times where they didn't give anything. And it was okay, and we let it be like that. We wanted people to find what was in their heart. And then when they started finding what was in their heart is that they were blessed and they want to bless God back. You know, are we all right still? Listen, I want to say that this is everyday life stuff, not just spiritual. I was preaching one night or one morning in our Sunday service, and I was preaching from the scripture that says, God wants to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. Has anybody ever heard that scripture? Yeah. Now, as a preacher, I'm preaching this. Like, I'm like, God wants to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. And I meant that in the most spiritual way possible. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, he wants to give you like, you know, a good home life or something, you know, or he wants to bless your life, give you a good job. And I just said, I was like, God wants to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. There was a lady in our church, and she had been looking for a house, and then all of a sudden her husband had gotten sick, and she had to quit her job, and they couldn't even look for a house no more. And we're sitting here, long story short, her husband got a miracle. I mean, absolutely got a miracle. Healed of a brain tumor they couldn't operate on. Not because we laid hands on him or did anything crazy. We just preached the gospel and the miracle happened. Because the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't need sensationalism. It works in you. And it works to do things without you having to try to make it happen. It's part of who you are. Again, God wants to bring heaven to earth. You need a healing today. God wants to bring heaven to your earth. Maybe you know somebody that needs a healing. God wants to bring heaven to that earth. That's the power, that's the gift that's being offered to you this week. But her husband got healed, but they still were not looking for a house. And she said, she heard me say, God wants to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you didn't plant. She left service, didn't tell me anything. She looked at her daughter and she said, I feel like somebody's going to give me a house. And our daughter's like, you know, Mom, that's crazy. No one gives away houses. You know, like you just don't, nobody just comes and said, here, here's a house. Have it. She said, it wasn't by the end of the week. She said, I just knew I was going to get a house. She said, it wasn't by the end of the week. Her mother-in-law showed up and said, you know what? I just feel like I want to move into a home where I don't have to mow the grass and do all this work. So I'm going to move into a condo where everything's taken care of. And I don't need any money from my house. I want to give you my house. She literally gives her this house. They move into the house. She said, she went out back. She said, it's my mother-in-law's house. She said, I've been there many a times. She said, but I never really just paid attention. She said, I walked out the back, and there was grapevines that were planted in the back. She said, no, not only did God give me a house I did not build, he gave me vineyards I did not plant. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's a culture of heaven God wants to give us, and sometimes we super spiritualize everything we do in church instead of realizing that there's some natural things God wants to do and that this is a gift for you. That this Holy Spirit he's offering you this week is not just so you could be a better Christian and do better things in church, but that you could be successful in life. And that the culture of heaven begins to invade this earth so that not only are you blessed, but those around you are blessed. Because listen, this lady got a house she did not build. You know what happened? Because she wasn't having to pay a house payment anymore, and her job began to increase because she was able to go back to work after her husband got better. She was able to go back to work. She was able to get back on her feet. Her giving went up to us. And our church began to be blessed. Not only that, but she had a bigger house and she had a son who was taking care of a daughter. And he was struggling. She said, you know what? We got a bigger house. Move in with me. We'll take care of you too. You can get back on your feet. That's the culture of heaven, not just affecting her, but it was affecting people around here. That's this gift that God wants to give you. I'm hoping I'm making this look attractive to you tonight. How valuable the gift of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give you tonight. Or the gift that maybe you've already received, how much he wants to expand it inside of you and increase that gift. So that not only are you being blessed by being able to pray in tongues, but you're able to see what heaven looks like and bring it into the earth. Begin to affect people around you. I know some of you have already begun. My wife was telling me she was watching, even in worship tonight, some of you all already began to lay hands on one another and pray with one another tonight. See, that might seem insignificant. But that you don't know what you're doing for somebody else, what they've gone through, what their struggle is, and the impartation of the Holy Spirit that you're bringing into their life that might just be the spark of heaven that changes the hell they might be in. Because it's his good pleasure. Listen, the scripture says it's a good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you righteousness, peace, and joy in everything. What does that mean? Because that's a lot of church terms. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness just simply means you're in right standing with him. He's not mad at you. He doesn't have anything against you. But here's the two kickers. The peace and the joy. Because there are some things we go... Listen, even some of you maybe that are trying to make college decisions or decisions about what you're going to do with your life. There's a peace that he wants to give you. That the decisions you're making are the right decisions. There's a peace that comes with the kingdom. That I'm making the right decision to bring peace maybe into your home. Maybe you've had some struggles with your parents or siblings or classmates, friends, other people. God wants to give you a peace in some situations. Not only that, then, he wants to give you joy. Joy is this. Joy is, how do you explain joy? It's like, yay! You know, it's like happiness. I don't know. You know, it's like the good stuff. It's joy to me is like when we got a babysitter and my wife and me are able to go see a movie in peace and quiet. That's joy. You know, and so I like every time that I look across the street and my in-laws live there, or just over here is my mom and dad, and I've got babysitters surrounding me. That is joy. That is heaven on earth. If you, I hope none of you have a toddler yet, but one day when you're grown up and you decide to get married and do things the right way and have children, you will understand that kids are great. They're just not great all the time. And so to have a babysitter sometimes, that's joy. To just have some peace. My daughter, the breakdancing one, is like my brother. She never shuts up. It's like, I'm telling you, she's like all the time. She'll talk to herself. Just constantly, like it's, she don't even care you're listening to her. I have to ride with Jason in the church, and it's the same way every week. And then my toddler, like, listen, I'm serious. This is no lie. Jason annoys himself when he talks. See this? Listen, this is no lie. We're coming back from church on Sunday. My oldest daughter, Aspen, is just talking, talking, talking. My toddler, who is 6 months old, is in the seat next to her like this. A toddler. This is how much she talks. So to have a break, and so she does this back here in the back, and she don't even care if you're listening, except you can't get, if I try to talk to my wife, she just gets louder. Somebody pay attention. And then she's going to sing or something. So to have peace sometimes in our car brings us a lot of joy. This is the kingdom. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes the peace and joy is when you know I've made the right decision in life. This is the direction I'm supposed to go. This is the college I'm supposed to go into. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life. This is what, I'm supposed to do right now. This is the job I'm supposed to have. That peace that comes with that then brings a joy, because then you're able to enjoy the fruits of what that peace produces. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give us this week. I asked the band if they'll come up. And we're going to sing, we'll let them do some worship and sing again. And I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I know this is only the second night or whatever. But you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to receive this gift. Matter of fact, the earlier you receive it this week, the better. And I hope that what I've done is present this gift in such a way that there's something of a desire inside of you that says, you know what? I think I might want that. And if that's the case, if you've heard something tonight and you'd like to receive, you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you'd like to receive it, we'd like to pray with you to receive that gift. You've received the gift in the past, but you feel like maybe it's been dormant, maybe it's been inoperable, and you want to see it expand and grow. We want to pray with you tonight, and we want to stir up that gift of God that's in you. To see heaven invade every aspect of your life. To see you have the best life on the planet. To see you have righteousness, peace, and joy in everything you do. If you'd like to receive that tonight, if they come up and play and they start to worship, if you want to receive it, please come to me or one of our counselors or one of our leaders. There's a lot of them. If some of you guys would come up too, so that they know, so people that can pray with them to receive this gift. And receive the Holy Spirit. I appreciate if some of you counselors would come up. Just find one of us counselors and let us take our hands and lay upon you and begin to stir up the gift of God, of this Holy Spirit, that you receive it tonight so that you can receive this awesome power that no matter what the times or the seasons you're living in, you have this power to see the kingdom invade your earth tonight. So if they would just begin to worship.